good morning,
good evening,
or good afternoon,
as Santa Monica College,
or whoever else happens to be listening. Whoever you are, or wherever you come from, you are listening to Corsair Radio, broadcasting live to the Santa Monica College cafeteria, and you can find us on live365.com, and we also have our own app on Corsair Radio. So this is the second episode of my talk show called Arialistic Linguistics. I did my first episode with talking about the Tea Party, the Occupy Wall Street movement, and the Big Bank bailouts. That was what my first episode was about. Now I am doing the second episode of my show, and the subjects on my second episode will include, but will not be limited to, the Arab Spring, and why it relates to why I, in the first place, I was for the war in Iraq when it happened, Gaddafi's deaths, and my opinions on current events, including the Corsair newspaper, and how it relates to Santa Monica College. And I will also be talking about the upcoming job fair, and I will also be talking about the SMC Club Row, and what my opinions are on the Santa Monica College Career Center. And remember, if you happen to be listening, and if you want to share any of your opinions on me, I am found on my Facebook page, Ariel Bakshande. A-R-I-E-L is my first name, and that's how I spell my first name. B-A-K-S-H-A-N-D-E-H is how you spell my last name, Bakshande. Now, okay, let's get started. So, I said my first, the first subject I wanted to talk about was about this thing called the Arab Spring. Basically, I don't know if you guys have heard it on the news. A lot of Arab countries are having uprisings and revolts, and they are going against dictators. They are going against dictators who have basically been in power for a long time. They're not giving their people any rights. In most of these countries, bad things are going on. There's a lot of corruption that people are sick and tired of. It sort of relates to our Occupy Wall Street movement right here in the United States. But the movement of Occupy Wall Street and even the Tea Party movement aren't as violent as what's going on throughout the Arab Spring revolt. Now, I'm also gonna introduce a little bit of comedy into my show. So, speaking about the Arab Spring, I don't know if you all know who Gaddafi. Gaddafi was the dictator of Libya, and I'm just gonna play a song by an artist named Noy Alouche, basically making fun of when he spoke out against the revolt in his own language. He did a big speech, and this song is in Arabic, but when I first heard it, I thought it was hilarious and funny, and I liked it a lot. And you know that one of my favorite song artists are Weird Al, and it kind of reminded me of Weird Al. So on a whim, I'm going to play this song by DJ Gaddafi. It's pretty funny, but I hope you enjoy it. I can't understand it. If you speak Arabic, maybe you can't understand it, but I just like it, and I'm going to play it on my show. Enjoy.
الملايين تسحب وما يبدو حد يوقفها بسرعة بسرعة معي الملايين بتموت من الداخل معي الملايين من المغرب هل نقدر نوجه نداء إلى كل ملايين الصحراء من الصحراء للصحراء حتسحب الملايين الملايين تسحب وما يبدو حد يوقفها بسرعة بسرعة كذا كذا كذا
Wow, that was quite interesting. Way to go, DJ Gaddafi. But that was funny. Well, to me it was funny. It was kind of cool. But there is nothing. There is absolutely nothing funny about a dictator. And especially when it comes to dictators in that region, in countries like Libya and Iraq and those countries, the way they treat their own people, the way they harass them, the way they squash protests and everything like that, peaceful protests, to tell you the least of it. The thing is that what's going on in Syria is that there's this man named Assad. And he's just up there with dictators like Ahmadinejad and Khamenei, and he's just murdering the people out there, just sending out tanks and everything like that. Gaddafi was worse. Now, could you imagine sending your own air force after your own people? I think what inspired the uprisings in countries like Libya and Egypt. Egypt happened after Tunisia. Now, I hardly know anything about Tunisia. I know a lot about Egypt. I know somewhat about Libya. But I know in Tunisia they just didn't like their president. I have no idea who he was or what he did, but he was a corrupt guy, and he was a really corrupt guy, and they got rid of him. I don't even remember what his name was. And I remember when Gaddafi spoke out against he said that you people of Tunisia, you've lost someone who was amazing, and it's so bad that he had to go. But I think dictators are supporting other dictators. Now, I don't know if you guys know, but Gaddafi recently died. He was shot by, I think, one of his rebels, one of his own people. And I remember who came out? Farrakhan, Louis, I call him Farrakhan, and there's another third world dictator who I like to call Twinkle Toes, but I'm just gonna call him Hugo Chavez of Venezuela. I don't really like that man either. So Hugo Chavez and Farrakhan have spoken out, and they have said like what happened with Gaddafi was unjust and terrible. Like, oh, he was killed without a trial. I mean, but when you think about it, what about all those people who what about their own people who were also hurt and murdered and had their lives shattered and their families broken from what happened? What about their trial? Why don't we ever think about them? And this ties into why. Remember, this is Arealistic Linguistics, so this is a show about me and my ideas and my opinions. And my idea and my opinion is, in the beginning stages of the Iraq War, weapons of mass destruction or no weapons of mass destruction, I'm just glad Saddam is out of there. Now, you might disagree with a war on Iraq for a myriad of reasons, and I know it's a country, it's none of our business, but the way that I saw Saddam and his like I said in the previous show, and his underlings, just the way they hurt people, the way they had these rape rooms and torture chambers and all that stuff, the way they had all that, it looked really was just terrible when I saw it. It was terrible, and I'm like, how could a country be ruled by such ruthless people? And I just really don't like dictators and the way they treat their people. So that's why I'm going to make fun of Mr. Gaddafi. I'm going to make fun of him. If you don't like it, you know, call me or something. And I'm going to make fun of Hugo Chavez later in the program. But I'm not going to be talking about third world dictators of third world, second world, whatever. Just dictators of countries all the time on my show. I'm going to be talking about topics that relate to Santa Monica College too. But since this is what I like talking about and this is such a big deal for me, and I like making fun of them, I am going to play yet another song by Gaddafi. This one's by Noya Lush. He's like an Israeli kind of parody maker, just like Weird Al, except he's Israeli. And it's called Zinga Zinga People. Now, the irony of it is, it was done when Gaddafi was having this interview, and he told the person that he was being, that was interviewing him, that all of his people love him, and they would die to protect him. So, excuse me, one of your people just killed you. I don't think that's what you're talking about. And I am just going to play this so you can all see the contrast between reality and what goes on in a dictator's mind. So enjoy yet another parody making fun of Muammar Gaddafi.
They love me all. no demonstration at all in the streets. 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 No one against us. Against me for what? No one against us. Against me for what? No one against us. Against me for what? No one against us. Against me for what?
Open together. This me. Dar dar. Zanga zanga. Fart fart. Shiver shiver.
They love me all, my dear, with me. They love me all, yeah. They will die to protect me, my dear, yeah. They love me all, my dear, with me. They love me all, yeah. They will die to protect me, my dear, yeah. They love me all, my dear, with me. They love me all, yeah. They will die to protect me, my dear, yeah. They love me all, my dear, with me. They love me all, yeah.
So, that one was called Zinga Zinga People by Gaddafi. Well, not intentionally by Gaddafi. Of course, his words were made fun of and remixed by some, by Noya Lush, but yeah, so you can see like what goes on in some of these dictators' heads. No demonstration at all in the streets. They love me, all my people with me. I mean, could that be any further from not just what we hear, but what we see on TV with a bunch of people out literally on the streets, holding up flags of the old Libya that wasn't just a green flag, but with those other colored flags? That does not reflect the reality. Dictators have delusions of grandeur, and they're just really, really people that you can't understand. And speaking of people who are dictators, there's really, really, Hugo Chavez. He's also, he's a semi-dictator, kind of, and he always makes it a point to speak out against the U.S. and Israel about things that he just guesses about. But his last one time, he actually made something up that here in the United States, we have a secret earthquake weapon that, look, folks, you can't make this stuff up. This is just too ridiculous to be true. And of course, why I don't like Hugo Chavez is because he supports other dictators, while always speaking bad about our country, always speaking bad about the United States, and that's why he disgusts me. Well, I call him Twinkle Toes, but I mean, he said that us in the U.S. we have a weapon that makes earthquakes, and we used it to cause the earthquake in Haiti. You can't make this stuff up. These people are nuts. So I'm just gonna play a funny little thing. It's not a song, but it's kind of a thing that it's just making fun of Chavez and his assertions about the secret earthquake weapon that the U.S. has. Enjoy. It's pretty funny.
Dear people of the world that are on the internet, I am President of Venezuela, Hugo Chavez. I am the smartest man alive. I am warning you that the evil empire of the United States of America has struck yet again with its insidious earthquake weapon at a supposed atmospheric research facility in Alaska. The United States of America is trying to take over the world by causing earthquakes. First in Haiti, now in Chile. I know what you are thinking. Am I insane? The answer is simply, see? Yes, of course I am. I take several antidepressants and snort massive amounts of cocaína, but only after I drop acid and rip about 4 or 5 gravity bong loads. Oh. Now look out for tsunamis and buy my Venezuelan oil, muchachos.
Well, yeah, that was certainly funny. Just I just thought I'd share all that with you. But yes, the answer is simply yes. I am insane. Well, I sure do think he's insane. I mean, like I don't know. It's just ridiculous how these leaders of other countries, supposedly mostly third world countries, but not even third world countries, just other countries, instead of thinking about how they can improve their own country, what they can do for their own people, how they can help them out and everything like that, all they do is just point the finger at the United States, at America, and just say, oh, they're causing all sorts of trouble and everything like that. But when you look at themselves and their own countries, it's like, what are you doing for your own people in your own countries instead of just pointing the finger at us all the time? Anyway, I just thought I'd get that out there, because speaking of these things is a subject I am passionate about. And another subject that I just want to get out there is that here I read in our newspaper, the Corsair. Hold on a minute. Let me skip to that page. It's by a writer named Maria Demera. And it says, and it's about SMC being a smoke-free campus. And I just want to know something. To all you smokers out there, I'm sorry, but I don't know. I was just one of those people when I was younger and I was in school. And this isn't because I respond to authority and I only believe in authority and all that stuff. I was just one of those people who, I don't know if you heard of the DARE program, what the acronym stands for. But the DARE program always teaches us to resist drugs and violence. And I listened to those officers when they came in and they said just smoking and drugs and everything like that ruins your mind and it ruins your life and everything like that. So I'm not a smoker, I'm not a drinker, I'm not an alcoholic or anything like that. I don't pollute my body with those things. But I guess secondhand smoke is also a big deal. But what I'm confused about is that they say that Santa Monica College is a smoke-free campus, yet there are designated smoking areas. It's about as close to saying that this town is a crime-free town, yet there are designated areas where you can engage in criminal activity that we're not going to pay attention to. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. If smokers want to smoke, do it somewhere even off campus. Nowhere near campus. But I don't care. Call me a radical. Because even if you call me a radical, I don't care, because controversy is going to get me the ratings and hopefully get some people to actually contact me to talk to me about stuff that's on their mind. But if I had it my way, I would just ban smoking everywhere except your own house. But if you had a child in the house, I would even ban smoking in that house too. I just think that drugs are just, it's just, it, I don't know, but I'm guessing it tastes bad and it's bad for you. So why waste your time? why waste your time and your life doing something like drugs or smoking or anything like that? That's just my philosophy. That's my opinion. But if you have another philosophy or opinion, feel free. Like I said, my Facebook page is Ariel Bakshande. I spelt that for you, but I'll spell it later in the show. I don't want to keep spelling it again. And my email is smartman400@yahoo.com. Feel free to contact me with anything that's on your mind or anything you want me to talk about on this show. So, I basically made myself clear. I'm disgusted with people like Farrakhan and Hugo Chavez, and anyone else for that matter, that when a dictator of a country who was a killer and they hurt their own people and their own people are suffering, when people like that, when other people want to defend those people while turning a blind eye to all those other people who had to suffer under them, they just disgust me. But what bothers me even more is that when what happened in the Iraq war against Saddam, what happened against him, I really think he deserved what he got, whether we should have been involved in Iraq or not. I don't know if any of you know about people, the indigenous population of, not indigenous, I mean, there are people in Iraq who are Kurds. There are these people called Kurds, and Saddam was gassing and murdering these Kurds just like crazy. And what I was surprised about was after his entire trial, after his entire court trial, after that happened, the international community condemned the death of Saddam. But where was the international community? Where were they when Saddam was brutally killing and murdering his own people? And I don't know if you've ever heard of the city in Iraq called Halabja. But in Halabja, when he just gassed a bunch of Kurds and just ruthlessly murdered them, where was the international community there? Where were they? Were they taking a vacation? But all of a sudden, when this murderous dictator was actually punished for his crimes against humanity, oh, here comes the international community speaking out against him. But who cares about all those other people that he's hurt? They're not people. They're just his, Saddam's playthings. They were just Saddam's playthings. The only person that mattered was Saddam. Like I said, Arialistic linguistics, it's all using my language and it's using my point of view. So let's see. What else is going on in current events today? So I was listening to KFI AM 640, and John and Ken, I don't know if it was John, I don't know if it was Ken, all that happens is I hear their voices, but I can hardly tell them apart from each other. They don't announce if it's Ken or John, and I don't know which one has which voice, but they were basically calling the Occupy Wall Street protesters a bunch of hippies, and they missed the boat. They had to do it back in those times of the Vietnam War. Well, I'm really not gonna stoop down to John and Ken's level and just or maybe I shouldn't say like some things about John and Ken I like, some things about John and Ken I don't like. But the thing is that I'm not just gonna label the entire group as a bunch of hippies. All I'm gonna say is that their cause is noble. I guess their cause is noble if it's not redistribution of wealth. Like everyone in the country should be middle class and there should be no one who's rich. That's not a noble cause. And I'll talk about why that's not a noble cause and how that kind of relates to my childhood and what's kind of going on with me now. But I think it's a noble cause to get the money back that we were cheated, to get the money bank back we gave to Wall Street. That's the noble cause. I'm always on the side of fairness. What's fair and what's unfair? I go with what's fair. And of course, everyone's going to say, oh, but you're biased. You may have your own opinions and everything like that. So I'm just going with what sounds fair to me. But the thing is, when Occupy Wall Street protesters, and I'm not saying all of them, when some of them do things like defecate and urinate in public places, I am not that 99%. I don't know about you, but me personally, I am not the 99% who defecates and urinates in a public place. I am a civilized person who wants civilized kind of things and a civilized manner of protest. So when some of the protesters do stuff like that, they undermine the entire cause. They undermine the cause by acting like I'm just gonna say it, imbeciles. You don't defecate and urinate in public places, and I think that seriously undermines the cause. And another thing that seriously undermines the cause of Occupy Wall Street is anti-Semitism. That is just a centuries-old scam where people always use Jews as the scapegoat, and it should not be happening. That is a disgusting centuries-old scam that has led to so much suffering and so much hardship that I think it's about time that anti-Semitism is done in this country. And also on my last episode, what happened, like, Oliver kept talking about bloodshed and revolution and all that stuff. I just want to say that that does not represent me at all. I am I am not condoning violence in any way, shape, or form on this show. And that is that. Unless, and remember, I said unless it's for defensive purposes. If it's for defensive purposes, that's okay. I don't know if you've all heard about what's happened in Fullerton, but what happened, it was a very rare case. There was a guy in Fullerton who was a schizophrenic homeless man. I don't know what his name was. I don't know if he was homeless or not homeless. His name was Kelly Thomas. And basically what happened with Kelly Thomas is that a bunch of cops got in a call about some guy who was in an area he wasn't supposed to be. And what happened is that they confronted Kelly Thomas, and then I don't know, something led to another, whatever happened, I wasn't there, I can't say for sure, but they started just beating him, just senselessly, like the kind of things that you're used to seeing in a country like Iraq, Kuwait, or Syria. And I'm not saying those are bad countries, but I'm kind of saying like the type of the government abuse that you're used to seeing in another country, not in the U.S., happened in the U.S. with the Kelly Thomas case. And I think that's the only part where I condone just not really violence. I don't condone violence. That's it. But I condone self-defense. If really, like, they're just attacking you and they have no right to be doing that, and the only thing you can do is defend yourself. That's it. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying self-defense is good. If someone's, like, attacking you for no reason, then that's when I condone self-defense. So I talked about all of that. Now, before I get to my next song, I know I'm jumping around a lot over here, but that's the show, the way it works. No, I'm sorry. That's the way the show works. It's spontaneous, and it's just the ideas that come up into my head. I want to play Gourmet Race from, in honor of the Kirby game that just came out yesterday, Kirby... Dang, why did I lose it? Kirby's Return to Dreamland for the Wii. Got it. That's the one. I'm a gamer, too. Of course, you know that, because last time I was on the D. Kenny show. I'm going to play that. But before I play that, like 2 minutes, I'll talk about it. In 2 minutes, I'll come back to it. Club Row is going on today. I know this is a live show, but this show is also gonna go on. What's this show gonna go on? It's also gonna go and come pre-recorded. It's live now, but it's also gonna pre-record. So I'll just say today is Thursday, October 27th, and it's Club Row. And when I come back from playing Gourmet Race, I'm going to talk about the clubs that interested me, the clubs that didn't interest me, and what I liked and what I disliked. There wasn't really that much I disliked, because if I just disliked it, I could just walk away. But anyway, I'll talk about once we get back. Here is Kirby Gourmet Race in honor of the new Kirby's Return to Dreamland that's coming out for all you gamers out there who enjoy games like that.
Oh, did I neglect to mention?
This is the Super Smash Brothers version of Kirby's Gourmet Race. So it's going to be a lot, like, more intense. And I like songs that are intense. Like I said, I enjoy songs without words, but you can kind of feel the passion in the way that it's composed. And I think you can hear it here. Anyway, enjoy. Was nice. Now that was basically a rock version, like an all-out rock version of Kirby's Gourmet Race, which was, I don't know if you've ever played those old Kirby games, or if you played Kirby Superstar Ultra on the DS. It was basically that race where Kirby races King Dedede to the finish line, and that it wasn't like that, but that song was the hyped up Super Smash Brothers rock version of the song. So anyway, I was out there going through out there on the SMC. I don't know if you call it the quad area. Close to the quad area and close to the library. And I saw a lot of clubs out there, but I'll just talk about my favorite club. My favorite club, I would have to say, would be the Chemistry Club. Now, that was cool. When I was young, I didn't want to become a talk radio show host. Well, I did later, but when I was younger, I wanted to be a chemist. And I mean, most young people weren't interested in science. They were interested in sports. But believe it or not, I was never interested in sports, to say the least. All my friends were playing handball. I didn't like handball. It was boring. And I don't know. It's just about me. I like tennis. I enjoy tennis, and I enjoy hiking. Those are the two things I enjoy. But sports, you may like sports. That's cool. But me personally, of course, this is Arealistic Linguistics. So, man, it's about me. Just me. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's mostly about me. But like I said, you can contact me. So I didn't like sports. I liked science and chemistry. And I didn't even like math that much. I'd say if we're talking about math, I understand arithmetic. I actually really liked arithmetic because arithmetic made a lot of sense. Of course, that's the easy stuff. Plus, minus, addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. But once I got into algebra, that's when I had a horrible 8th grade algebra teacher. That's when I got a little bit confused. And once, I would never really do, geometry, of course I know a square, a triangle, and a circle, but the more technical aspects of geometry I didn't understand, like proofs. I really disliked proofs. I disliked that. And I just dislike high algebra. Actually, algebra here at Santa Monica College, when I took my algebra class, I actually did pretty well in it. I did pretty well as opposed to when I had it in high school and middle school. I think I think the quality of the teacher who's teaching you math is really gonna affect the way you learn it. Whatever it is, and the same could be said for English. I enjoyed English, I guess, not that much. But the two things I despised about English were essays and when you got into grammar. Like, really serious grammar, I despised it. But let's see. Okay, so I talked about that. So, okay, chemistry club. When I was young, I just really liked chemistry. I like the idea of chemistry, actually. Just putting two things together I thought it was creative. Like, I talked about creativity in schools and all that stuff in my other radio show, but putting two things together and watching something else, come out of those two things that's totally new, I was always intrigued by that concept. And basically, I don't like boring chemistry. I'd say boring chemistry is when you're dealing a lot with math and you're dealing a lot with the technical aspects of chemistry. I don't know what to call this chemistry, but live chemistry, just action chemistry. I like movies. I like action movies. I don't like romantic comedy. So when you relate that to chemistry, I think there are the technical aspects of chemistry which are a little bit boring, but you still need that. But when we're talking about chemistry, I really like the chemistry that's action. You see what's happening. Now okay, so this show is only going to be an hour since I'm not co-hosting, but. I thought I'd play something for you from Robot Chicken, which is kind of funny. And then when they're talking about Star Wars, and then I'm gonna talk about how that relates to us as students. Maybe, or I don't know. Let's see. We're really short on time. So I'm going to leave this as kind of like a cliffhanger to my next show. Actually, okay. So on today's show, I talked a lot about the Arab Spring, what I think about dictators, SMC and Club Row, I talked about things, what I thought like Dictators Club Row. So for the next show, I'm going to be talking about, for Arealistic Linguistics Episode 3, I'm going to be talking about, like, how hard it is to be a student these days, and how tough it is, like, with jobs and everything like that, and people don't understand. I'm reserving it for Episode 2. But right now, I'd just like to play a little thing from Robot Chicken called... I don't know if you know the show Robot Chicken, where it's with... who's the creator? Seth MacFarlane. And he just makes up... No. Or was it Green? It was either MacFarlane or Green. And they just do some ridiculous things. But I'm gonna play this clip called "Altered the Deal," and then on my and then on the next episode of Arealistic Linguistics, I'm gonna be talking a little bit about it now, and then on my next episode, I'm gonna be talking about how something like this is affecting the people who are our age now. Okay. So hold on a second while I get this whole thing updated, while I get this clip going. So it's that part where they're making fun of, where Darth Vader tells what was his name? Where Darth Vader tells Lando Calrissian, if you're a Star Wars fan, you know that part where Darth Vader tells Lando, "I have altered the deal, pray that I don't alter it again," and he only says it once? Well, here's a clip from Robot Chicken where he does it about, he alters the deal about 6 times, and Lando's really, really starting to get angry, but I just thought this clip was hilarious. And I'm gonna share it with you.
Leia and the Wookiee must never again leave this city.
That was never a condition of our arrangement, nor was giving Han to this bounty hunter.
I have altered the deal. Pray I don't alter it any further.
This deal's getting worse all the time.
Furthermore, I wish you to wear this dress and bonnet.
This was never a condition of our arrangement.
I have altered the deal. Pray I don't alter it any further.
This deal's getting worse all the time.
Here is a unicycle. You will ride it wherever you go.
What? I'm not riding the f***ing unicycle.
I have altered the deal. Pray I don't alter it any further.
This deal is getting worse all the time.
Also, you are to wear these clown shoes and refer to yourself as Mary.
Oh, f*** you, man. I'm not doing it.
I have altered the deal. Pray I don't alter it any further.
This deal is very fair, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
Okay, so... okay, how does that... I'm giving you a little bit of it in these last 6 minutes of the show that I have. But how does that relate to us as students? How does this, "I have altered the deal, pray that I do not alter it again"? Well, what I think of it is that the deal basically was, what I was told at least when I was going to school, try hard, do what you have to do, get good grades, and then you get that job you like. And college is optional. And then we graduate from high school, and then it's like, "Oh, sorry, we've altered the deal. There's been an entire economic crisis. Now college is still optional, but it's basically kind of like a requirement nowadays since the economy is bad. Oh, the economy is getting worse. Sorry, college still isn't enough. Maybe you have to do an internship. Oh, okay. We've done that internship. Oh, sorry. We've altered the deal. Internships are still not enough anymore. You need to have the most perfect resume now. You've did your resume. You've worked hard on it. You made it perfect now. But we've altered the deal. You have to do another internship now because that's how I feel like right now. That's how I feel like. We're like Lando, basically, in this not the Star Wars, but in this little parody where basically we were promised something when we were young, and of course we had no bargaining chips. We had nothing we can do, but there you go. Society, they've altered the deal, and there's nothing we can do about it. And that's what is just bothering me. That is just what's getting on my nerves. The deal is being altered over and over again. And then what else is getting on my nerves is that I don't know, just student loan debt. I haven't had to deal with it basically myself. But I don't want to deal with it. That's the thing, and I think when I go into another 2 years, if I ever do, of course I'm a part of the Santa Monica College Alumni Association already, and I actually met them on Club Row, and they had this challenge for me to make something up. I don't know. I'll talk about it in the next episode, but yeah. So. And on my next episode, I'm going to talk about more about jobs and careers, but I'm going to leave this as a cliffhanger to that episode. So yeah, the deal is just always altering and altering and altering, and we're just like standing there like, what is up? Where are our rights? And I think the Occupy College movement, however much they relate to Occupy Wall Street or not, is that it's just those students who are sick and tired of that proverbial Darth Vader coming in and saying, I have altered the deal. Pray that I do not alter it again. And then you do whatever they tell you, like you're some kind of clown, and then they alter the deal over and over and over again, which I find sickening and nerve-wracking. Anyway, I'm gonna wrap up my show. So this was Arealistic Linguistics episode 2. I hope you're all looking forward to episode 3. Hopefully by then I'll have a guest come over like I did in my first episode. If not, I'll still try to make it as interesting and as passionate as I can, because that's what I'm going for. Anyway. Since it's Halloween, I thought we'd get a little bit into the Halloween spirit. And, for all of you ghouls and ghosts out there, trying to sound as scary as I can for the upcoming Halloween day. But I thought I'd play some music from this video game called Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door. This is a remix, just like the Kirby remix that I found from Super Smash Bros. And it's when you fight this ghost, this freaky ghost, called Dupless. And I'll tell you the story of Dupless after you hear the music. And then after that, I'll explain a little bit more, talk a little bit about upcoming Halloween night. Then I'll wrap up my show. Anyway, enjoy.
No, that wasn't part of the song. I was just practicing my Halloween laugh. Sound scary enough? I don't know. What do you think? Anyway, that was the song of Dupless from a video game called Super Mario, Super Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door. And he was basically this ghost that could duplicate anything. He was a shapeshifter. And every time in the game a bell rung, he would turn these townspeople into pigs. Now, if the townspeople were Jewish, that would be twice as terrible because pigs are unkosher. I didn't mean anything racist about that. I was just trying to make a little joke. But yeah, I don't eat pig. I eat kosher. I don't eat shrimp, pork, or something like that. So Dupless better not come to a Jewish town anytime soon. Well, he's a ghost that exists in a video game, so I don't think he will. Anyway, so remember, have a happy Halloween. Maybe don't have too much candy, because I think that the scariest thing in the world aren't ghosts and spiders and zombies and freaks and everything like that. Sometimes the scariest thing can be a cavity. And their tooth decay is scarier to me than everything else that goes on Halloween. That may sound like a 2,000-pound mosquito, but that is the sound of a dentist drill. And I despise that sound. I despise that sound. I wish someday in the future they would do something where dental work cannot be done by drill, because I think that is one of the most evil inventions ever created, is the dentist drill. I hate that. I just hate... Oh, God. Just don't remind me of those days of having cavities and all that stuff. Anyway, have a happy and healthy Halloween. And, oh, did I neglect to mention that the content of Corsair Radio doesn't necessarily represent Santa Monica College, the faculty, the staff, the employees, or the student body. Although, it should. No, I'm just kidding. That was a joke. Remember, these are my ideas and my views, because the name of my show is called Arielistic Linguistics. I mean, I would have called it Ariel's Philosophies, but I think that Arielistic Linguistics kind of mixes together. It kind of gets that mix, and it gets it just right. Just the right kind of wordplay. The right kind of wordsmith. Arielistic. It's like a religion. You are an Arielist. You are listening to... maybe I'm becoming a megalomaniac. I'm kidding. Just one day I will have my own city and my own religion, but... who knows when that day will come. anyway. Oh, yeah. So, if you want to contact me, my email is smartman400@yahoo.com. I am found on Facebook by my name, Ariel Bakshande. My first name, A-R-I-E-L. My last name, B-A-K-S-H-A-N-D-E-H. abakshande@gmail.com. You spell Bakshande the same way you do on my Facebook page. And, so this was my show. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you are enjoying your lunches. Unless you, ordered the mystery surprise lunch from our cafe. No, I'm just kidding. There is no, like, mysterious surprise lunch that all of a sudden there's, like, I don't know, a finger. No, just kidding. I'm making jokes. We have no nasty lunches in this cafeteria. I haven't ordered everything, but I know that we don't. Anyway, this has been Arielistic Linguistics Episode 2. I look forward to seeing you in Episode 3, where I will talk more about what I think of the economy and the jobs crisis and everything like that. Anyway, catch you later. This is Ariel signing out. Good night, folks.